Now, the men of valor will be putting notes in your hand in just a moment. Who can tell me what we're going to be opening the Word on tonight? In a couple of subsequent assemblies, I told you that you could pray and ask God what we were going to be sharing, and you'd be able to know ahead of time what we were going to be talking about. You'll get there. Come in expecting. I already have your notes ready. Tonight we're going to start part one of In Times Like These, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're expecting an increase in miracles, signs, and wonders, but we're opening into that realm. I expect the day to come very shortly when there won't be announcements or any of those things. We won't even be receiving offering. The buckets will just be out for people to bring and rejoice and shout before God as they do. I was speaking at a church in Lagos, Nigeria, and they had large baskets that were about this tall, about this big around, and they would set them down, and the people would come dancing by and throw their money in, and the offering was a time of celebration before God. But I didn't like part of the offering, because I said, if you don't have anything to give, touch the basket. No. If you don't have anything to give, touch the Word. Because touching the basket won't bring fullness, but touching the Word will. So we're going to be talking tonight about the Holy Spirit. Now, I was out Sunday, but I understand that Brother Brian masterfully spread the table and y'all dined well Sunday. So we can get away with just bringing you a snack tonight because you ate so well Sunday. No. Sometimes when one of the other ministers, Brother John, Brother Scott, Brother Brian, Richard, whoever's ministering, stop and tell them, thank you. Because when you're grateful for the word you received, you'll receive more word. And when you bless the one who brought the word, the blessings that's on their life will come to your life. And sometimes it just helps them to know that you didn't intend to fall asleep during their message. That you was really trying to get something out of it. Can you explain to others the work and person of the Holy Spirit? The third person of the Godhead, God the Father, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, God the Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit has a name. His name is the Spirit of truth. He is not the Holy Ghost. He's never been the Holy Ghost. He never will be the Holy Ghost. At the introduction of communion, our Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed Redeemer, said, his name is the Spirit of Truth. Understanding his name is important to you because in his name is his description. Now, I want you to get this. The Holy Trinity, God the Father. We say that, but do we know his name? The most often name, or most often used name that God himself used to describe himself is Jehovah, Lord of hosts. That is his first covenant name, Jehovah, Lord of hosts. You know, there's people that's been in church 15, 20 years and still don't know God's name is Jehovah, Lord of hosts. You see, that's a faith name. Because the first time he introduced that name was to Abraham, and he said, I am Jehovah, Lord of hosts, and you are father of many people groups. Now then, at that time, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, had a host of zero. I want you to get this tonight. But Anitra, when Jehovah Lord of hosts named Abraham father of many people groups because they were entering into covenant, a covenant of obedience on Abraham's part and a covenant of blessing on God's part, when they entered into covenant, Abraham's promise from God provided God's fulfillment of a host. When God entered into covenant with Abraham, it produced what his name described, a host. Jehovah, Lord of hosts. Now then, Yeshua HaMashiach, that name means Redeemer, Anointed of God. Again, just like in the beginning, Jehovah, Lord of hosts is a job description, it's a title, it is a prophetic pronouncement, and it is a faith statement, because he became Jehovah, Lord of hosts when nobody was following him. But out of the first person following, produced a multitude, a host of people that did. And so, you shall call his name Yeshua, Redeemer, for he shall redeem his people from their sins. And in his name was his title, Anointed Redeemer, and his job description, Anointed Redeemer. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, Jesus said, and he, the Spirit of truth. Now if I said, and he, Demetrius Robinson, you would know who I'm talking about. And he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, he could have said, and when the ghost shows up, but he didn't. He said, and when he, a person, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you and guide you in all truth, and he will reveal to you things that are yet to come. The Lord said something to me this week. I was reflecting on Scott Peter 2:24, with his stripes you were healed. And the Lord said to me, do you realize that is prophetic? And I went, what? He said, that's prophetic. Every time you say it, you're releasing me to do it. Did you know that every time you say, and my God shall supply all of my need according to the living standard of heaven, you're prophesying? And the Spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, brings that word that you're prophesying to pass. But if you say, and my God supplies all of my needs according to the living standard of heaven, wish to God that was true, you just cancel the prophecy. Or, I don't know why it doesn't happen. You see, a lot of times we speak a promise of God and then we cross it out with another statement. I wish that worked for me. You just cross it out. Because prophecy never has a clause. My God shall supply all of my need according to the living center of heaven. That's prophecy. The Holy Spirit is obligated to perform it when I say it. Can you explain the work and person of the Holy Spirit? Because for most charismatic people, he is not a person. He is tongues. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. If my doorbell rings, I do not go. That's a sign there's somebody out there. If the doorbell rings, that tells me I should go and see who's out there. Because the fact that somebody's out there doesn't do me any good. Yep, doorbell rang today. I knew there was somebody out there. Well, who was it? Oh, I never looked. It is enough to know that there was somebody out there. I'm not alone in the world. I heard the doorbell ring. Well, was it FedEx? Oh, they never come. Was it UPS? What would they be doing at my door? What do you think it was? Probably bill collector. Have you considered his work and availability on your behalf? Do you see the Holy Spirit as a person and as the one who performs it is written? Why did Yeshua continually say, "It is written"? Because he was not availing himself of something he knew of God that was outside our purview. Pastor, what does that mean? Okay, let me get the magnifying glass out. Debbie, what that means is Jesus made sure we understood that everything he used to defeat the devil was already written down. So that if he could defeat the devil with it, so could we. So he didn't go into Shazama Babahula and reach out in left field and draw something in that you don't have access to. He made sure that you understand. He said, "It is written," and the Holy Spirit did it for him. I do nothing of myself. I do only what I see of the Father. I limit myself to "it is written" so that you can benefit from what I did, not go, "I wish I'd lived when he did," when that was available. Because if it was available under law, it's multiplied under grace. Amen. When the angels were contending with the devil over the person of Moses, what did the angels do? They said, "The Lord rebuke you." Why? Because the angels did not have the authority to use the word in the earth. Only you do. So in earth's atmosphere, contending with demonic spirits who had a right to be here based upon Adam's covenant, they went to a higher authority and said, "The Lord rebuke you," to teach us that if we will go to a higher authority, we don't have to contend with... I don't have to contend with the devil. Well, Pastor Jim, the word of an angel, the word of God, they're equal. No, they're not. You don't know your Bible. But you will in a little bit. John 16:13. "But when he," the person, "the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Now then, what does it mean he'll guide you into all truth? Tammy's in a situation and she doesn't know what scripture applies to this. But at the same time, she's not a person who has never picked up a Bible. She has picked up a Bible. And so she says, "Holy Spirit, bring to my remembrance the promise that covers this." Because, listen, he doesn't just bring to you what you have read, what you have memorized, what you have meditated. He brings to your remembrance everything you've heard. "Holy Spirit, I know I was sitting, I've been in church 10 years, 10 lifetimes." And that was just one Sunday in a bad church. "I've been in church all these years, and I know at some time I've heard a promise that covers this." It's not what I know of God, it's what I have heard of God that you will bring back to my remembrance. "Holy Spirit, remind me what I heard that covers this." Well, Pastor, you know, that's just too good to be true. That's God. But the truth is, he is that good because he is that true. Now, on an earthly level, it might be too good to be true, but in a kingdom mentality, it's just everyday conversation. And he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes. Wait a minute, what does it mean, when he comes? You mean there was a time when the Holy Spirit was not available to man? Why was there a time when the Holy Spirit was not available to man? To come in manifestation. He could visit, he could bring messages, he could do things that the Father said or that a prophet said when the prophet was speaking on what God told him to say. But the Holy Spirit could only come upon man. He could not come to man, and he could not come in man. Why? This will help you if you'll listen. The Holy Spirit could not come to man because man had abandoned the truth. Man in Adam abandoned God said to embrace Satan said. When man did that, he broke covenant with it is written. And so the Holy Spirit was not available to be in you, with you, through you, for you, because you were under Adam's curse of separation from God. So you had to have a go-between who was approved by the Holy Spirit. So there had to be a priesthood between God and man. Pastor, why are you going into this? This is just way out there stuff. Because one day you're going to be talking to somebody and you're going to be able to use this and say to them, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes back, comes to man, comes to earth, indicating that there was a span of time when the Holy Spirit wasn't. Now, we can read Genesis chapter 1, and we know the Holy Spirit was here when Adam was made. The Holy Spirit was here when Adam was put under the Word. But then when Adam departed from the Word, the Holy Spirit left. So in your life, when you depart from the Word, the Holy Spirit is not obligated because he leads you and guides you in all truth, and if you depart from the truth, he departs from you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Why? Because the Word's there. When the Word's not there, then you become an enemy of God because you're not one with what God is. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. So when I said, was there a time when the Holy Spirit wasn't available to man? Yes, from Adam to the resurrection. You don't find the Holy Spirit operating in, speaking through, working with. He would come to man, he would come upon man, but he could not come within man. Why? Because man had inherited separation from God. There was a wall, there was enmity between God and man because man had chosen to reject God. When you reject God said, you reject God. When you reject God said, the Holy Spirit departs. So the Holy Spirit was moving. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears. So the Holy Spirit operates on God said. Jesus operated on God said. So what should you operate on? You see, if Brenda is operating on God said, Brenda is assured the Holy Spirit will show up. If Paula can remember what God said, and Paula says, God said, fear not, then fear has to leave. Why? Because the Holy Spirit listens to uphold the Word of God. He will not speak of his own initiative. So he won't just give you what he thinks, feels, wants, or needs. But whatever he hears, God say, he will speak to you and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now then, I grew up in a time where this portion right here was limited to prophecy. This Holy Spirit prophesying. But when I was studying for this, the Lord said this to me. If he does nothing of himself and only what he has heard of me, then when he discloses to you something that is to come, it can be as simple as disclosing to you, with his stripes you were made whole. Because he would only disclose that to you because you needed that work in your life. And if you will put yourself under that word the Holy Spirit brings to you, I had someone say, I was having a real attack today, and all of a sudden something just came up. It was like it was in my spirit, just came up. With his stripes I was healed. What do you think that was? That was the Holy Spirit bringing back to your remembrance what God had said. But as of the time preparing for this message, God said that was the Holy Spirit revealing what is to come. If you'll agree with that word, receive that word, and decree that word boldly, with his stripes I was healed, then the Holy Spirit can reveal healing that is to come upon you. When it's, my God supplies all of my need, when the Holy Spirit brings that to your remembrance, if you'll boldly decree it, then you've empowered the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is to come. Abundance is coming. Needs being met is going to come. It doesn't have to be, yea, verily, on the 17th of July, a red car is going to pull up in front of your house and a man in a green suit is going to get out. You spend all your time waiting for a red car and a man in a green suit. It can be prophetic, but it is prophetic because he's leading you and guiding you in all truth, and he's showing you what is to come that hasn't yet been fulfilled in your life, like with his stripes you were healed when you were battling an attack of Satan. And I want to say this to you because the Lord has really been driving home to me that every sickness is a spiritual attack. Every sickness represents an unclean spirit trying to get you to accept their presence in your life. When you begin to treat sickness like an unclean spirit trying to gain access to your health instead of, well, this is what's going around, or I worked too hard this week and I left myself open to this. Did you ever notice it doesn't say with his stripes you were healed if you didn't leave yourself vulnerable to an attack of Satan? But E.W. Kenyon said, every sickness is spiritual. And I had a hard time with that for a while. And so I had to finally ask God and said, God, is that true? And God said, how did sickness enter the earth? I created the earth without sickness. How did it enter? Through Satan. Then every sickness is spiritual. And every sickness is an unclean spirit trying to gain access to your life through subterfuge. If you'll let him into your health, he'll soon get into your mind. If he gets into your mind, he'll soon get into your spirit. He can destroy you from you accepting things as being the course of life, not a spiritual attack. Every headache that comes to you is a spiritual attack by an unclean spirit. Because if he was clean, he wouldn't be there. Well, Pastor, did I sin? Did I do something wrong? No. You sublet a part of your anatomy to an unclean spirit. He brings a thought. You're coming down with something. If you act on that thought, you've given place to the devil. He brings a pain to you, and you, oh, I wonder what that is. No, identify this and you can be pain-free, sickness-free. Anything that's unlike health is a spirit of infirmity trying to gain access to your house. Know you not that your body is the temple of the living God? Why would I let an unclean spirit dwell in God's temple? If it was a spider, you'd run it off. We were getting into the truck the other day, and I went into a conniption fit. Now, if you've never seen a conniption fit, it's spastic behavior. And Lou's like, what's going on? Just as I'm getting into the truck, a yellow jacket landed on my arm. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't closing the door with a yellow jacket on my arm. Me and yellow jacket is having one of these, and I'm casting it down because my mind is quick enough, Gail, to realize that I don't want yellow jackets trespassing on my anatomy. But Scott, am I smart enough to realize that I don't want headaches trespassing on my anatomy? I don't want colds, flu, anything. And it doesn't matter whether it's a headache or a stroke. It is an unclean spirit trying to gain access to your anatomy, and it can only gain access to the level you will grant it permission. Well, Pastor Jim, I'm not going to give it permission. If you go, I wonder if I'm coming down with something, you've given it permission. Do you know how hard it is to evict a person from your house that you've allowed to spend the night? No, legally, I'm talking about. Legally, do you know how hard it is to evict a person you've allowed to spend the night in your house? Legally, when you gave them access and didn't in contractual time and terms define the length of time they were allowed to stay, you opened the door, therefore you're legally bound to give them access to your house. But it's my house. Not once you've given access. Now we get into all kinds of laws, and if we get into squatter's law, you're even in more trouble. But if you stop them at the door and they try to force their way in, now you have legal regress. Well, I'm just going to let this cold stay around for a day or so, and then I'll... No. Every sickness is the appearance of an unclean spirit attempting to gain access to you. And God said, give no place to the devil. One translation I like says, give no real estate to the devil. Your body is real estate. It's the dwelling place, the naos, the temple of the Most High God. The devil shouldn't have any footprints on it. So get this tonight. Every sickness is an unclean spirit attempting to gain access to your temple, to your house, which is God's house. And if he can gain access in any area, many of these little spirits of infirmity, sickness, disease, are gatekeepers. A gatekeeper spirit gets the gate open and it says to all the other demons, in here. And pretty soon you're having things show up in your finances and your thinking in every area of your life. Well, it was just a little headache. You gave place to the devil. Once the camel gets his nose under the tent, he is going to try and get the whole camel in the tent. He, a person, the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of Truth, a descriptive title, that's his identity. He is the Spirit that brings the truth to reality in your life. When he has come, when did he leave? Well, we know he was there in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Spirit was there moving above the waters, but not interacting with the waters. A dark picture of desolation is broken by the hope derived from the Spirit of God was moving. When the Spirit is moving, things are subject to change. When is the Spirit moving? When Damon says, it is written. Now, you understand in this first passage of Genesis, the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was moving, but he was not active in earth. Until what? Until God said. When God said, the Holy Spirit went to work. Now, wait a minute. We got to get this picture. Here is a desolate, desperate, disgusting mess. Here. The Holy Spirit is here. What got the Holy Spirit from here to changing here? God said. There is a desperate, desolate activity going on in Ethel's life. The Holy Spirit is here, going to and fro, waiting for a word he can act upon. How does Ethel get him from moving to removing? It is written. God started out, and Ken, because we've had a bunch of stupid preachers and teachers in the church, God began the beginning of your Bible telling you how to get the Holy Spirit involved in your life. God says, check it out. Here's this desperate, desolate mess. The earth was dark, without form, without void. It had been beautiful. It had been glorious. But the devil fell from heaven and knocked the hell out of earth. How do you know, Pastor Jim? Because God created the heavens and the earth. And God doesn't create anything void, dark, and formless. So there was a time when God was the light of the earth. But the devil was cast out of heaven. Now God is going, I'm not going to give place to the devil. He's going further out. And so God starts his word with a picture. Here's a mess. How do we fix the mess? Introduce God said to the mess, and the Holy Spirit can correct the mess to align with the God of said. The Spirit moves, things change. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Why was there light? Because God said, and the Holy Spirit acted on what he said. How do we correct the problems in our life from the very beginning of the Bible? Say what God said and expect the Holy Spirit to perform God said. Well, Brother Jim, I've been praying all week. Yeah, and I can just imagine what you've been praying. Because if you've been praying all week, it's probably a bunch of mindless drivel. God, please. God, would you? God, if you will, I'll promise to go to church twice in a row. Yeah, you're going to really get God going with that one. He knows how good your word is. But he also knows how good his word is. And if you'll speak his word instead of your word, the Holy Spirit will move. Did it ever occur to you that from the very beginning, God was teaching us that you can clean up a mess with God said, and all you got to do is repeat what God said, and the Holy Spirit will act upon it because he watches over God's word to perform it. God said, and the Spirit brought his words to manifestation. God said, releases the Spirit to perform, to create what was spoken of God. When God says it, or when God's child repeats it. What was the walk of Jesus in the earth? God's child repeating God and the Holy Spirit acting upon it. And what was the life of Messiah on the earth? It was the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us in all truth and showing us what could be done through becoming one with God said. The Holy Spirit lifted when man rejected truth. When Adam departed from God said, the Holy Spirit and his work were limited to where the word of the Lord was received. And in the Old Testament, you'll continually find this phrase, and the word of the Lord came to. What happened when the word of the Lord came to Moses? If he received that word, the Holy Spirit could operate on his behalf. If he didn't receive the word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, free flow. Free flow of what? Whatever the Spirit of the Lord has said. The Lord is one with his word. So when God said, that is the Spirit of the Lord speaking. Wherever, whenever, the Spirit of truth is released to perform God said, hope turns to manifestation. Now we have this in the beginning of God dealing with man, and then God paints us a similar picture in the beginning of the new covenant. Now one, we saw in the beginning, Genesis 1. Now God's doing a new thing in the earth, and we have Yeshua. And we have a new covenant being cut. And with the cutting of that covenant comes another appearance of the Holy Spirit to hover over a mess. The anointed Redeemer has been crucified, he has died, he's been buried, and hopelessness falls upon his disciples and his followers. They are bent out of shape, severely bent. A couple of them are almost broke. They're severely bent out of shape. What do we have again? Darkness is upon the face of the earth. There's a disastrous situation. Hope seems gone. There is a mess in their lives. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away. How did they come to the tomb? Hopeless, despair, in darkness. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed, so now we've got hopeless, discouraged, darkness, grief, sorrow. Behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. A couple of dudes lit up the place. A sad, dark, hopeless time, but then, and as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? What were they doing? They were saying, open your eyes to what God has said. After 3 days, what's today? Third day. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? It's been 3 days. He will lead you and guide you in all truth. You already have the answer, girls, but you're not listening to the words you've heard. So I am here to remind you of what you've heard. Ding dong, third day, no longer dead. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Your hopelessness is wasted on this tomb. The opposite of their dire, hopeless reality is shattered by the light of truth. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember. Now, what's the job of the Holy Spirit? To bring back to your remembrance everything you've heard of God. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Remember his words. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. That will happen in the future. Your healing is only in the future until you accept it as a revelation of the Holy Spirit. With his stripes, I was healed. All right, I got it. I was healed, therefore healing is coming to me. My God supplies all the need. That was a truth, therefore wealth and abundance is coming to me. Because the Holy Spirit just showed me that this word is prophetic for my life. He is showing me what is to come. Health is coming. Why? Because with his stripes I was made whole. Now that I receive that word, now that I agree with that word, now that I decree that word can activate. So whether it's salvation, I believe that the Yeshua HaMashiach of God is Lord over everything that separates me from God and his word. The Holy Spirit comes and fulfills the word I've just agreed to and decreed. Guide you in truth, all truth. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. Whatever he hears, he will speak to you. Now, Pastor Jim, when the women came to the tomb, that wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking. Do angels have the authority to speak their own words? They hear. And the angels bring a message from God. So what the angels said to the ladies was what God had authorized them to say. He will disclose to you what is to come, what the word has spoken to be a reality before it happens. When the storm on the sea sought to sink the boat carrying the anointed Redeemer and his learners, he spoke peace. And the Holy Spirit of truth, who moved on the waters in creation, moved on the waters again, and peace ruled over terror. Because the 12 was scared out of their wits. But God had already said to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. On the boat, what was going on? Their heart were troubled, they were afraid, and the Holy Spirit, through Yeshua, I speak nothing on my own, I speak only what I've heard of the Father, what the Holy Spirit reminded me. The Holy Spirit reminded the disciples through Messiah, I've already told you, peace will take care of this. And what did he do? He stepped to the bow of the ship and he said, peace. And he showed them what peace could do to a storm. Guys, I'm reminding you of what I've already told you. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. It's a force you can speak out. And when you speak that peace into a situation, Pastor, there's turmoil going to my house. Speak peace to it. You do not allow your heart to tolerate, dwell upon trouble, disciples. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Their heart was troubled. They were afraid. How did he fix it? Peace. My peace I leave with you. It's at your command. Use it. The Holy Spirit of truth within you is your instant replay. I know it says reply. That'll work, but change that to replay. Your instant replay of God said. The Holy Spirit reminds you of what God has said, and you replay it. It is written, with the stripes I was made whole. It is written, my God supplies all of my need. It is written, my God will never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I'm not alone in this mess. If God and I are both here, then this situation can't stand against me. He, the Holy Spirit within you, is the creative ability of God to activate what God has said. You may not see the Holy Spirit. You may not be able to physically touch him. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, something good will come out of you. One more time. Well, Pastor, I don't find that in my notes. You got a pen. When the Holy Spirit is in you, something good will come out of you. When the Holy Spirit is in you, something good will come out of you. But He is at work within you, bringing the Word to you and performing the Word you decree. The Holy Spirit brought to Jesus the word peace. What did Jesus have to do? Accept that word as His answer and speak it out. When He did, what happened to the storm? The hopeless situation was changed by the hope of the Word. Job 22:28, "You will also decree a thing and it shall be established for you." How can I be sure that what I decree is going to be established for me? I say what God said. God, You said that You're my healer. Therefore, this sickness will not stand. Our Messiah came as a man, not contaminated by the fall of man. So He came exempt from the exclusion of God said that Adam had perpetrated a breaking of. Our Messiah came as a man, not contaminated by the fall of man. He was born of the Word believed, received, and acted upon. Even our Messiah was the result of having heard the Word, believed the Word, and accepting the Word as their answer. And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to Your Word." And the angel departed from her. According to Your Word. Now, we remember that in Luke 1:26, that word was spoken through an angel. We remember in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." For what reason? Being shipwrecked and hopeless, in despair. To keep out of trouble, you must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from what we heard. If you forget with the stripes we was healed, you'll suffer under sickness until the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance. Pay attention to the word heard. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." By hearing and hearing and hearing from scriptures read aloud or from the Holy Spirit bringing it to you, faith comes. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. "For the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression, disobedience, received a just penalty." You see, when it's what God said that the angel is repeating, it's God's word. Now, if you were created higher than the angels, and when they repeat God, it's unalterable, then when Napoleon repeats God, it's more powerful than an angel saying it. Why? Because he was created higher than the angels. Unalterable, meaning steadfast, unchanging. The Word can be trusted. The Holy Spirit performs the Word God has said. Now, Hebrews chapter 2 continues into the third verse. "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Well, what salvation are you talking about? Well, Pastor Jim, he's talking about the ministry of angels in Hebrews 1:14. No. In Hebrews 1:14, he's speaking about the ministry of angels. But in Hebrews chapter 2, he's speaking about the ministry of the Word. And if the Word spoken by an angel can't be changed, how much more so the Word spoken by you? Because if you are saying what God said, it's unalterable, unchangeable, steadfast, remains eternally, and the Holy Spirit is obligated to uphold it when you are agreeing with God for the reason God said it. If we neglect the Word equals salvation, sozo, health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. In all five arenas of your life, the Word equals the Holy Spirit activation. How will we escape from whatever dire, hopeless, disastrous, despicable situation is coming against our life. How will we escape if we neglect the Word? What is that verse saying in just plain old, just like John would say it? You don't have to jump in, John. I was just dramatic pause in case you wanted to jump in. What is the great salvation? It is written. And then you say what is written. You say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, remind me of the promise that I've heard that covers this. Not, oh, Holy Spirit, will you give me something to say? No, He will not. Why? You're not depending upon His job description. You're calling out for mercy and mercies of God, not the Holy Spirit. If we neglect the Word, how are we going to escape the dastardly mess that's surrounding us? In the beginning, it was the Word that changed the world and brought about the creative power of God through the Holy Spirit acting on the Word spoken. What changed every situation in the Bible? The Word. By His Word, I have no fear in me. By His Word, death cannot swallow me. By His Word, I have what?
Prosperity,
victory, peace, joy, love. Though He was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How did the Word become flesh? Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, angel. But then that Word became flesh and showed us the Word on a level higher than the angel. If the Word of an angel believed and accepted could produce Jesus, what could the Word believed spoken by a Son of God produce? Full of grace, the favor of God, and truth, God said. He, Messiah, could do no miracles, signs, or wonders until the Holy Spirit came upon Him. I know if you read the Archcove volumes, the letters of Mary, the lost letters of Christ, which are a bunch of junk and hooey, that are also cataloged in the catacombs of the Roman Catholic Church. There are stories about Jesus, a little boy, picking up a bird with a broken wing and fixing it. No, that's all garbage. There are no lost letters of Christ. There are no extra biblical gospels. He did nothing until the Holy Spirit came upon Him. What does that tell us today? We ain't doing nothing until the Holy Spirit comes on us. Why does the Holy Spirit come? To lead us and guide us in all truth and show us what is possible with the truth we're submitting to. John 1:33, I did not recognize Him, but He who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon Him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in what? In Jesus' name? Or baptized in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was our Lord's earthwalk empowerment and His resurrection power or ability. He could do nothing until the Holy Spirit came on Him. And once the Holy Spirit departed from Him, He could do nothing until the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Him from the dead? The Holy Spirit. Why? God said, and the Holy Spirit acted upon that Word and brought resurrection power. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What does that verse say to me? Cooperate with it is written, and it is written, will produce what it is written describes in your life. From birth to the Holy Spirit coming upon him, he could do no great anointed empowered works. Once he released his spirit unto death, his spirit, which was the home of the Holy Spirit, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? He could do no works before the Spirit come. He could do no works once the Spirit left. Jesus couldn't raise himself from the dead. Who birthed him? The Holy Spirit. Who resurrected him? The Holy Spirit. Who did the mighty works that he did? The Holy Spirit. What does that tell you that you need in your life? Is there a good news without the operation of the Holy Spirit of truth? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Who is me? The Word. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of the Word that Jesus is. But Jesus, separate from him, could do no great works. Why? God had a plan from the very beginning that the Holy Spirit would manifest what God said so that we could learn not to be God, but to be followers of God said. Now, this is part one about the Holy Spirit. And the Lord willing, week after next, we'll come back, because next week, Brother Larry will be here. The Lord willing, week after next, we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more about the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to become so familiar with the Holy Spirit's operation. Pastor Jim, what is the Holy Spirit's operation? I believe what God said. I agree with what God said. I say what God said. And the Holy Spirit comes to bring into creative ability or manifestation whatever it is God has said. I have said this to you, but I want to say it again because I want you to get it. You are not praying if you are not saying what God said. Well, Pastor Jim, I've just been praying that God would heal me. You're crazy and you look. Brother Jim, I've been praying that God would bless me. You're dumber than you look. Pastor, that's ugly. That's me. No, it's not. Am I also become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You'll cheer for a politician when he tells you, you're stupid if you believe that. But at church, you don't want the preacher to tell you, you are failing because you're stupid. You're sick. You're broke. You're hurt. You're hopeless because you're not smart enough to say what God said about it. You keep trying to pray and ask God to do something when he's told you, I'll do nothing apart from my word. So if you are not returning his word to him, you're not praying, you're just doing religious garbage. Well, Brother Jim, I've just been praying that God would. God doesn't do things because you pray. God does things because you agree with what he has said. Don't pray, God, please heal me. God, when are you going to heal me? God, will you heal me? God, if you'd just heal me, I'd go to church. God, if you'll just heal me, I'll pay my tithes. I'll teach class except nursery. I'll keep the sickness if I have to go work in the nursery. Oh, people pray stupid prayers like that. No, Father, I thank you. It is written, with the stripes I was made whole. Your word guarantees my health. Therefore, I curse this lie and cast it from me, because this lie is not congruent with your promise. Your promise is, with his stripes I was made whole. I know his stripes happened. Therefore, wholeness belongs to me. Devil, get this lie off of my flesh. You foul, unclean spirit, depart from me. My body is the temple of the Most High God, and God and sickness can't dwell in the same real estate. Until you're praying the word, you're not praying, you're just committing religious futility. But people all over the world are praying and begging and pleading with God to do something that his word says he's already done. You can't have a problem in your life that there is not a scripture that covers it unless the problem in your life is a violation of God's will for your life. If you're running from God, you're without a prayer. Until you stop running and return to God said. Tonight's message, part one. The Holy Spirit is hovering over the situations of your life, waiting for you to agree with what God said, to speak what God said, so the Holy Spirit can correct in your life what is not congruent with God said. Congruent is a simple word that means fits together with. Congruent. Pray, God said. Speak, God said. Decree what God said. And the beautiful part is, Job 22:28 says, thou shalt decree a thing. I decree, it is written, with his stripes I was healed, and it shall be done for you. I don't have to do it. All I have to do is decree it. And the Holy Spirit, who watches over God's word to perform it, the angels of God who hearken to the voice of the word, I have to voice the word for the angels to hearken unto it. The angels who excel in strength and do exploits in the name of the Lord, when I'm speaking what the Lord said, I am in the name of the Lord. You see, when it says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, doesn't mean you can pray any garbage you want to pray and go, in Jesus' name. That's not what it's saying. Any more than a police officer can pull you over because he doesn't like the color of your car. Well, I'm a cop. I got a badge. I've got a car. I've got a red light. I don't like the color of your car. No, you can't do that. That's a violation of your office. You're only empowered to pull me over if I violate a law. I was with a young man one day who was not a polite person. An officer had pulled him over, and he said, what would you do if I called you an SOB? He said, I'd arrest you. Well, what would you do if I thought you were an SOB? The officer said, I can't do anything about what you think. And he said, then I think you're an SOB. What is the difference? The letter of the law. I can't say it to you, but I can tell you I'm thinking it about you, and you can't do anything because the letter of the law says I have to say it. So I just explained to you what I'm thinking. Therefore, I didn't say it. You can't touch me. The devil knows the law. And he may not say it to you, but he'll convince you he's thinking that about you. Don't let the devil in your real estate. This is the dwelling place of the Most High God. Give no place to the devil, not mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, not in any realm. And remember this, I don't have to memorize the word, I just have to have heard it at some time in my life for the Holy Spirit to bring it back to my remembrance. You see, the load is not on us, Gail. The load is on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's duty is to the word, not to you. When Adam violated it is written, the Holy Spirit was not obligated to protect him anymore. Up to that moment, the Holy Spirit kept a hedge about him. You want the Holy Spirit to keep a hedge about you? Keep saying what God said. That's my third closing for tonight, so I guess I'll quit. Are you getting anything, church? I want you to be so familiar with the operation of the Holy Spirit, you can explain it to your worst relative. And you know relatives are the worst of them all. I want you to be so acquainted with the Holy Spirit that nothing shall by any means harm you. I want you to be so acquainted with the Holy Spirit that you are not lacking in any good thing. But you're thoroughly furnished and entire, lacking nothing. The Holy Spirit will remind you what you don't know. Because He doesn't bring to you what you know, He brings to you what you've heard. Because what you know, you don't have to depend on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is there to take you where you forgot to be. And He doesn't upbraid you. You just say, Father, I'm lacking wisdom here. I know at some time I've heard something about you that covers this. Holy Spirit, bring to my remembrance whatever it was I heard of truth that applies to this situation. And all of a sudden you'll know what you don't know. And at that point, you have the opportunity to decree it as your answer and expect the Holy Spirit to perform it for you. Father, I've given your people your word. The word is life-changing. The word is transforming us and elevating us out of stupid prayers and into it is written declarations. Father, I thank you that you wash the minds of the people under the sound of my voice. You anoint their ears to hear as never before, their eyes to see as never before, and their spirit to receive on levels and dimensions they've never known possible previously. But from this night forward, they are a force to be reckoned with because they are becoming one with God said. And the people said,
Amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.